Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Now, Lord, many people are just really wanting a breakthrough in some area or another. Please come and meet with us and touch every soul. Because with great expectancy, we're looking, we lift up our eyes to the very throne of God. And with a boldness of faith, through the blood of Jesus, we approach you. And we ask you to touch each and every one of us and grant us that breakthrough. In whatever area we're asking you, let it be, Lord. You are the God of miracles. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering. You may take your seats. Tonight, I want to take another one on the series of the God of miracles. The God of breakthrough. Breakthroughs. I would say, because God gives many breakthroughs. If your faith is strong, you'll experience many things that are breakthroughs for you. I do believe that we are totally, critically, and essentially in need of a powerful relationship individually with God. I don't think, quite honestly and frankly, you can put your faith in any politician of any nation. I don't think you can put your faith in the financial world system. I don't think you can put your faith and trust in someone or something else but God. I said, but God. Now, close to the cave of Adullam and Ephes Damim, in the area of Sukkoth, between Sukkoth and Azekah in Israel, there is a valley with two ridges on both sides, and stood there not long ago. Picked up five stones. It was the place. Just around the corner across was the cave of Adullam, where King David would often visit in his days while he was being persecuted by Saul. And here at that ravine, I went and I got five stones. I thought to select ones of different color. They were just beautiful. They were just the right size. It was with those very stones that he would confront a giant by the name of Goliath. I actually wanted to bring you the stones and the slingshot tonight and show you, but we'll do that. I treasure that because five is the number of grace. God's got grace for you. You know, somebody said God's riches at Christ's expense is available to everyone. I quite frankly do not know what you believe in God for, but it doesn't really matter. All things are possible if you can believe. Only believe, all things are possible. Now, a few things happened here. First and foremost, there's a description of this huge, gigantic person called Goliath. And there are various descriptions in various of the commentaries of the actual length. Some going up to 14 feet. I think it's the Dake's Bible. Or 14 foot 6 inches, something like that. others more conservative. But the fact is, this was a giant. Now, there were giants in the days of Noah and afterward. And these giants even dwelt in the Holy Land. In the area of Hebron, there were the children of Anak, the Anakites, which means the long-necked giants in Hebrew. So it was not a strange thing to find one of those giants down amidst the Philistines. They were violent. In the ancient manuscripts, they were often even cannibalistic. They would eat human beings, they would eat anything, kill as they wished. Take, writes Enoch and some of the other Dead Sea Scrolls manuscripts, the wives of men by force and had children with them. These were the giants of old. Genesis chapter 6, you begin to read about it. Then you have this one called Goliath. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He was a champion fighter. He immediately caused anybody that stood against him to be totally intimidated. I mean, you could take on anything, but to take him on, he had no competition. He was the giant. Now, it's interesting if you look at just a very quick pictographic analysis of his name. Don't want to get too deep into that. As the Hebrew letters come originally from little pictures, they called picture pictographs, each and every letter, and a word would be a pictogram. And there are two consonants that are the cardinal or the prevailing consonants of his name. The one is Chimel, which is the first letter for Goliath, and the picture from which it's taken is a camel standing up. So it means symbolically to be lifted up, to be proud. So in the moment you see Aleph Beth Chimel, Dalet Chevav Tzayin, then the moment you see that, then you think of someone that's filled with pride, arrogance, lifted up, if it's used in a name of that kind, and it was a giant. The other prime consonant that sits there, if you go on, Aleph Beth Chimel Dalet Chevav Tzayin, and then you have Chet Tet Yof Yod Kaf. Now, then Lamed, and goes on so forth. 22 of those letters, all consonants, except for Aleph. The other consonant is Chet Tet, is the word, the letter Tet, which is in Hebrew the symbol of a snake, like a python that encircles and puts the pressure on. So the moment Goliath was on the scene and the Philistines that were now spread out, they were ready, based upon his challenge, to enslave all of Israel. It was in this day that he was walking out and defying the armies of Israel. And for 40 days in a row, he came out and he was challenging them, bring me a man to represent you, to come and fight with me. And if I do not prevail, then we'll serve you. But if I do prevail, you're going to serve us. You're going to become our slaves, the whole lot of you. Now, one of the cardinal situations within that, so many stories of this clash with Goliath are written. I always want to go to that place because it's like there's still this lingering spirit of faith of a young King David in that valley. And there's still the same ravine where he picked up the stones. He defied the armies of Israel. And when he shouted with that huge voice, if you study the giants, you find that they have got a roaring sound, and they often spoke in what was called Babel. They babbled. From that comes Babel, which means confusion. You didn't understand their language. They babbled. From that comes Babylon. And when King Saul, who was himself a tall man, stood head and shoulders above the rest of the soldiers of Israel, when King Saul saw him and his army generals, if you will, his leaders around him, they were terrified. They were afraid. Now hear this word that I'm going to say right now. If you want a breakthrough, when fear prevails, faith fails. Did you hear that? While I was praying this afternoon, meditating about it, that's exactly what God said to me. He said, only believe. He said, whatsoever is not done by faith is called sin. Where fear prevails, faith fails. If you're fearing your situation, the first thing to do is get it out of your system. Now, last week I spoke about the authority of the anointing, of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of authority, and the enablement, the power enablement of the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life. When God is upon you and the Spirit of God is mightily resting upon you, then the spirit of faith of God is on you. That happened in the case of Samson. And here we have a young King David. After King Saul had failed God in disobedience, not dealing properly with Amalek, which is a problem still today, according to the Bible codes, very clearly so. The war is with Amalek because Amalek represents demonic forces in every possible way. You find that word come up all the time in the Bible codes, along with the names, the various names in Hebrew for Satan. When they saw him, they were terrified, they feared. They did not therefore have faith. Trembling, they backed off. And he would just go on and taunt them. And they would just stand there and they were speechless. And King Saul, the leader, was terrified, filled with fear, withdrew and didn't know what to do. So it happened at that time, there's a little boy by the name of King David. Now we estimate he is, according to the conservative and the critical timelines, he was about 17 years old. Like I said before, that's about the age of a high school boy in his last year, matric year. I was 17 in matric. Now these days, I'm 18 in matric. So this young boy, like a schoolboy, in those days, didn't even qualify as a soldier. You only counted as a soldier at the age of 20. The most amazing thing is, he gets sent by his father, Jesse, to go and take some food and a few things for his brothers to look after them, find out how they're doing in this battle with the Philistines, bring back a report and all that, and go and bless them with something. So David arrives on the scene. And at that moment that he arrives, Goliath comes out, and like thunder he shouts in that valley. And I can think in those days, there are no roads, no public roads, no nothing. And there's just the silence that had fallen because that giant had walked out yet again. Stood there shouting and cursing towards Israel by his gods. They were worthless because there's one thing we see in the Bible with King David. He is always aware of his covenant with God, the covenant of Abraham. So when he would refer to the Philistine, he would say these words. Now, who's this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? David immediately made the connection between Israel and God. Secondly, the reference to uncircumcised was that he had no covenant of Abraham, because they were all circumcised on the eighth day. So who's this uncircumcised Philistine that he would stand there and be so audacious that he would defy the armies of the living God? Schoolboy talking. Little shepherd boy. But he was the man after God's heart, and he was anointed by the prophet Shmolek or Samuel. And the Bible says the day that happened, when the keren, which is the horn of oil, the olive oil, was poured out on him and he was anointed, that the Spirit of God came mightily upon him from that moment. So here he comes. He's got a destiny. Now let me tell you something. If God's got a destiny for you, and you fall back on your covenant relationship with God, the devil doesn't actually stand a chance. You're converted into walking danger if you pray before you go anywhere. And that Hebrew letter tet, which means like a snake that encircles and puts the pressure on, just did not work for King David. You will tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all of the power of the enemy you will have authority. And trample on serpents and scorpions. Just didn't work with David. So the young king, elected by God himself, started talking around. Then his brothers came to him and they said, listen, now just who do you think you are? You look like, to use modern terminology, make it clear, the picture of the now world, like you're a school kid. Where are you going? What's this with you? I always look at the young people and I think how terribly important they are. Did you hear what I've just said? This church need to be sitting full in that block with young people. That's the next generation. I said that's the next generation. They need to be here. Nowhere else on the planet here. All of them. And tell them what I'm saying. Tell them I want their front door keys, the whole lot of them. And we'll get a Ferrari from someone. And we'll go and visit some of them and get them, give them the fright of, come out in Jesus' name, they'd be running to church. Amen. Amen. I treasure them. We were just out there on the island of Reunion. That place is filled with a young generation. Man, and they bouncing around, you can't keep up with them. So David said, who's this guy? And his brothers are rebuking him, and his eldest brother, Eliab. And then he goes, and my mind's spinning into even Eliab's name, but okay, let's leave that there. He began, and his brothers are standing and they are angry at him. But he continues to talk, and word reaches King Saul. Now, one of the most amazing things that happened there, we could say a lot of things, but I want to cut the story short by saying this to you, that King Saul started questioning him, called him and said, now listen, who are you? Do you know what you're busy saying? He said, well, you know, I don't fear that man. He's an uncircumcised Philistine. He's got no covenant with God. He doesn't stand a chance. Secondly, I've killed both the bear and the lion when they try to take away the sheep from me. And if they turn to attack me, I'd grab them by the beard, I tell you, and strike them till they were thoroughly stupid and they went some direction or they fell down right there. Now, King Saul listened to this little schoolboy And now he makes a decision that astounds me. Apart from wanting to clothe David with stuff that is of the flesh, David already had all the covering that he needed. He didn't need Saul's cover and armors and all that stuff. He just needed a slingshot and five little stones. In fact, he didn't even need five stones. He actually needed only one stone. But he picked up five. It's a number of grace. And King Saul does the most amazing thing. This is a situation where you entrust the future of a nation in the hands of a 17-year-old boy. Think about that. The future of the nation in the hands of a 17-year-old. I mean, if you talk about win-win, that seems to be lose-lose. But at that moment in time, I think the Spirit of God just came upon Saul and said, let him take it. No, David's not. He's got the Spirit of God. He's got the anointing of the authority. He's got the authority of the anointing. He's got the enablement of God. He's been anointed the King of Israel. He's got a destiny in his life, and whatever your destiny is, the devil can't stop it. The moment you pray, you'll reach your destiny. You'll fulfill your mission of life. That's why we need to find out, why are we here, and why are we even breathing the oxygen that God gave? What's the purpose of our lives? What's the will of God? I need the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the will of God in my life. So do you. It changes your life, your circumstances, everything. David goes down, the Philistine sees him, and he begins cursing him by his gods. And David looks at this lot, and he sees this thing, this giant of a man, lifted up in pride, representing the people. If you look at that valley and the ridge, it's a long ridge. They're all on that ridge, ready to run and encircle Israel, turn them into slavery. Israel's all standing there like this. And King Saul's entrusted the future of the nation in the hands of a 17-year-old boy because he's got faith and he saw it. He said, it'll be the same with this Philistine. I'm going to take his head off him. Watch this. So he goes down into the valley, picks up the five stones, takes the slingshot. The Philistine is cursing him. And he says, you know what? You are coming at me with swords and shields and whatever you carry with you, even got somebody just carrying your shield and all the armor, all this stuff. But I come to you in the name of the Almighty God, the God of the armies of Israel, the God of heaven's armies, the Almighty God with whom we stand in covenant. That's how I'm coming at you. And this day, I'm going to take your head off. And feed you to the birds of the air, if necessary, whatever. Then the Philistine came forward and David ran toward him. And then comes that moment, which I think is one of the most stunning moments in history. I have always thought to myself that God took command of that slingshot. I've always thought to myself, that thing, that stone, when it went out there, was like at the speed of light. I tell you, it accelerated, and it was so on the spot, it hit him right on the forehead between the eyes. It shattered his skull, penetrated his brain, death on impact. That stone flying through anything's brain brings him down. You don't even think anymore. Goliath was, and then he was not. Instant death. Instant death. The entire nervous system shattered into pieces. Nothing holds together. No muscle, no nothing. Instant death. David took the sword of that Goliath and he cut off his head. Now the army of Israel rises up. Now they're shouting. They see what's going on. Here stands David with Goliath's sword and his head in the other hand. The Philistines watched this lot. And they knew it's another one, like I said this morning, one of those bad days to be a Philistine. Now for the first time, only now Israel catches faith. And now they follow King David and they start striking the Philistines all the way down to Gaza, or the Gaza Strip, if you will. That Philistine, we travel past Gath. That was Tel Gath, which is in Israel this day. And I looked at that place and I thought, this is a dwelling place, that giant, that's where David got his enemy from. David sorted him out in one moment, took one stone. He had four stones left over. God of miracles. God of breakthroughs. It's never too late. Never too late to pray. Never too late to build a relationship with God and get to the place where God can turn your situation around. It's amazing. It's actually, to me, in my opinion, let me just close that thing. It, to me, is one of the most amazing things I have ever experienced. That when you've had a good prayer session, like I mean a good one, and you sometimes feel the need to run through your life and check out everything and do like what you would call a spiritual stock taking. Go through everything. Think of your entire history. Just in case there's something that you did not confess, if we confess our sins, that you still need to repent of. Maybe there's a mannerism, or maybe there's a bad habit. Maybe there's something that is forgotten, but now you become aware of it and you work through your life properly. You ask God to bless you and wash you in the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. And fill you with the Holy Spirit and clothe you with the full armor of God. You confess that armor of God over your life. Now you've got the armor of God, not of man. You're trusting in the Lord, not in the armor of flesh. You got the power of the Holy Spirit. You got boldness like a lion. Bring on the Goliaths of this world. What we face, the difficulties we face, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul speaks about it in 2 Corinthians. The things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in a position where we think that this situation is going to endure, like it feels to you like forever. 10 years later, you look back, you think, that only lasted a moment. It's like a woman giving birth. After the birth of that child, she forgets clean about the fact that she had a child. Because the baby now gives her all the joy in the world. And everybody is glad to see that child. The mother is all proud. They forget about all those difficulties of childbearing. And now it's a different story altogether. Gone are the memories of the pain of childbirth. Gone are those things. Restoration begins. Mother holds a little baby. The father holds a little baby and they rejoice. And yet you have a situation of change. Once you find that you have a breakthrough prayer, in a situation that was stubborn to change, in a situation that just would not change. But Jesus said, ask, Amplified Bible, and keep on asking in the Sermon of the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, 7. Ask and keep on asking, you'll receive. Knock and keep on knocking. Because the Greek aorist verb there talks of something that is perpetual, doesn't stop. But the problems are temporal. They are just there for a season and they go away. But you can expedite that process. You can hasten the solution in your favor by taking time to spend on your knees with God and clean out your life so that you actually feel so cleansed and so pure and so holy. And the presence of the Lord floods your life. You become aware of it. Right now, I'm aware of it. And you feel like you're on top of the world. It's amazing the effect that it has. And the longer you pray, the stronger you become. The deeper your relationship with God. The more you pray, the more the abiding anointing of the Holy Spirit just dwells upon you. And His Spirit goes with you. And you look at situations and you understand that things which are seen are temporal. They're going to be changed. But those which are not seen, they are eternal. They are eternal. And what seemed to be endless is only a season. It's like summer to winter, winter to summer, springtime and autumn. The season comes and season's gone. The trouble comes, the trouble's gone. The storm comes, the storm's gone. Storms don't endure forever. The worst storms in history, if I think of that storm Katrina, even that thing comes in and it goes and it dissolves and it's no more there. People look at their situation. They look at people that are really spiritually Philistines. And they get intimidated by these people. I see it. I see it. I see it everywhere. As a minister, you come across these people. And you see their high stress levels. Last Sunday night, I was praying for the people. I thought, dear Lord Jesus. You see the immense stress level. And you think, Lord, how's this true that so many people are taking so much strain with so many things? And they come for counsel. And you know, I really have got only one thing to say. Take a day off from work. Put in a day's leave. Get a load of water. Shut yourself in. Switch off. Excuse me for putting it this way. That stupid cell phone. And the computers and the stuff. Switch it off. Tell your closest loved ones they mustn't bother you because you're going to do that. Spend that day with God. You'll come out there bold as a lion and you'll see your circumstances change even quicker. Amen. The apostles were threatened. They were in Jerusalem. There were no more to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. And after all of that happened to them, they went to their own and they reported all that happened as they appear before the Sanhedrin. And then they go into prayer. And the Bible says, and with one voice they lifted their voices in one accord and said, And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant that your servants be filled with all boldness. With all boldness, that's fearless confidence in plain language. We may speak your word. Testify of the Son of God, the Messiah. Then when they'd assembled, the place that they were assembled at, the Bible says was shaken. And they were all again filled with the Holy Spirit. And with great boldness, next chapter, Acts 5. With all boldness, the apostles gave witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great miracles were done by the hands of the apostles. Even when the shadow of Peter fell upon a person, they were healed. As much as the shadow, you must know the presence of God on those people. They were walking, living sacrifice. Time for us to also become. I was talking to God at the back, and I said, Lord, you know, there's a thing about this whole thing about being crucified with Christ. The altar is the cross. The cross is an altar, and the altar is the cross. Our altar is the cross. And when you step on an altar, any altar, when anything is placed on an altar, it becomes the sole property of Almighty God. If I, Lord, I give you my heart, I place myself on the altar, I am crucified with Christ, as Paul says. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 5:16. For me, there is needless no more to boast except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom I've been crucified to the world and the world to me. The moment you go on that altar, the world dies. I once said to somebody, I said, put a cross between you and your job and the stuff. All the stuff that goes on there. Put a cross between you and that. Dead men can't be offended, can't be hurt. Dead men can't be tormented anymore because they're dead. And once you're on that altar, once you are on that altar, you become the sole property of Christ. And you literally, it's almost like in physics what you call an amalgamation that takes place with Christ on the cross. I've been crucified with Christ. At that moment in time, my sins, sickness, disease, and infirmity is taken care of. I'm dead to the world. I've been crucified with Christ. I live no more. But Christ lives in me. Here's another revelation. Romans chapter number 6. Therefore, count yourselves dead to sin also, eh? Dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. That's a powerful statement. How can you do that? How can you be dead to sin? Well, if you're crucified, you would be dead. And if you're in Christ, you'd be dead to sin. Because the sin thing has been dealt with. So what do you produce? And the New Testament talks about dead works. Repentance. Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number 1 says, therefore, let us not stay with the elemental principles, but move on to perfection, not laying again the foundation, Hebrews 6 now, of repentance from dead works. What kind of works? Dead works. What happens in Revelation 20 from verse number 11? The great white throne judgment, and there's the books, and the book of life, and the books are opened, and the dead, which there specifically is the wicked dead, are judged according to their works, not sins. Why not sins? Because Christ died for the sins of the world. They refused to receive him. They refused to accept him. They refused to surrender to Christ. This side of the grave, it's bad news on the other side. But if you're in Christ, you become a living sacrifice. Those apostles had power because they were as dead as we would say in the Afrikaans language, dood soos 'n mosie, or like you would say, dead like a stone to the world. You couldn't buy them. You couldn't manipulate them. You couldn't do no nothing to them. They're dead. And once you're there, the world doesn't hassle you. Once you're there, you look at all the blunders going on in society. It's all over the news everywhere. News here, news internationally, you see these people, they don't have no direction. I see in Britain, they're forever going on fighting each other about the Brexit situation. Brexit, 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 so they go on. And I look at all these things and I'm thinking to myself, you know, what does God say about that? What does the Word say? I know what the Word says about that. So I just shake my head, turn around. Don't want to listen to whoever has now got another little egg to lay on the whole subject. Because the Word of God is very clear about that. Very clear about it. In the day of the Antichrist, in the day of the Antichrist, there has to be a configuration. of necessity, it has to be that way. So how do you find any form of agreement when everybody is fighting everybody? In the US, you have the Democrats and you have the Republicans. And everybody's cross with everybody, and everybody's fighting for the upper hand. It's ridiculous. In the days of King David, that king had the prophet Nathan next to him, he had the high priest in his support, and he had the council of the high priest, and they had the Urim and Thummim. They would consult with God, filled with the Spirit of God, know just what to do. One man was needed. It was a theocracy. Theo, God was in control of King David, and he knew it, and he worshiped the Lord. The Lord was with him in his house. I stood in his house not long ago, and I just busted that area, knowing the voice of King David was here in the air, and I'm standing here now. Those walls contained a warrior that could take out the giants. So where are you tonight? God's got a breakthrough for you. You see, when fear leaves, then faith arrives. When faith fails, fear takes over, prevails. Otherwise put, when fear prevails, then faith fails. How many of you last Sunday when I prayed, I'm finished with that. Last Sunday when I prayed in this place, how many of you really had something happening to you? Can I see a hand? You had some people here? How many of you, something happened to you? You had something happen to you? Come to me. Sound desk. Come. Stand with your husband. Let me come down. Just while she's coming out, I'm also going down. Sikor, David, Tabishev, Chatamor. Take hands. Now tell me, what did God do in your life? I prayed for you last week. What were you standing in faith for? What happened then?
I was standing in faith for God to propel that which He wants me to do. And after the prayer and the previous prayers, the following week, things started to happen with regards to what God wants me to do.
And God wants you to plant a ministry.
Amen. So to continue, what happened is what God wanted me to do became more clearer and more clearer and more clearer. And even the prayer became more focused on what I should pray for, particularly with that which God wants me to do.
Now, with immediate effect, I am not only the leader of this church, but the leader of many churches. It is my prerogative to appoint new and probationary pastors and their wives. In this moment in time, I elevate you and promote you to that level with your wife. You become a pastoral couple. Sweetheart, just pray for them for me, please. You may take your seat so you can see.
Father God, I just take their hands now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that you are empowering them. that you are filling them to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. That, Father, the eyes of their understanding, the ears of the Spirit are going open to your purpose and your plan for their lives. Lord, equip them now in Jesus' name, in the spirit, in the natural, as well as financial, to do what they have to do. And Holy Spirit, speak to them through dreams, through visions. And Father, the prophetic anointing that is on this ministry, let it come upon them as well, that people's lives will be changed, that people will be healed. As she stands in the medical profession, that Father, she will not only help people with sickness as far as medication goes, but that she too and he will lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. That God's supernatural ministry come upon them now, and Lord, they be endowed from in high, on high, with the gifts of your Holy Spirit. We pray for that now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God.
Amen. Furthermore, in a week's time, there's the Fivefold Ministries International Conference. Ministers are coming in as far as the USA, France, French people from everywhere. That day, you're going to not be a doctor, you're going to be a pastor. You're going to be here and you're going to sit with the pastors. So see that you're with your husband, because with immediate effect, I have the authority to elevate you. You are now. What is your name, your first name? Tatu. That word, the word Nun, which is the first letter in Hebrew of your name, is life activity. You're going to be busy with life activity. And then you have a double Tav, which is like a double emphasis on the cross. You die because of that. You heard me talk about death. You die right now. You will produce life. Your name?
Malebu.
Malebu. Oh, that's very interesting. Okay. Your name, the first letter of your name in Hebrew, is like the mother of a house, of a household. The household of faith, the household of your family. Okay? Within it is another letter, which is the Aleph, which in Hebrew means strong, even as a leader. The next letter, which is a cardinal letter in the Hebrew alphabet in terms of high significance, is Lamet. That's the L. That Lamet refers to the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the shepherd, and you will help him to hold the shepherd's staff. Right? Go and become. You too, from this moment in this church, will be known as pastors. Everybody just give the Lord a praise offering right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I loose the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life. Amen. Amen. Do you enjoy that moment? Amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I need the band now. I need a good song. Come, are you? Where's the rest of the band? Where's Melly Kelly? They were playing a storm tonight. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. As for you, there's promotion heading your way because you've been found faithful. You've been found consistent. And you've been seen, and I've noticed you. Sometimes I need to have God attract my attention to somebody. Susan, I did not even think of stopping here. Are you listening to me? Two of you just stand for a moment. Because the presence of God is here. And just come a little bit forward, please. And to go through a season, in fact, you are in a season where you're being tested. I'm not talking about the pastoral ministry, I'm talking about in situation of life. And it's like there's a thing pulling you this way and there's a thing, but God says, I'm going to sort that thing out. And God says, I'm going to take all distractions out of you and I'm going to give you singleness of your focus. Because promotion is coming your way. But first, you'll rise up like David. You'll slay the Goliaths. And the anointing will rapidly increase on your life. Through your prayers and your prayer life. You become a giant killer, both of you. You will not take no for an answer. And the devil is not incapable of giving you any setback. See? Now, that thing that you've been struggling with, I just notice. The enemy's trying to put a thorn in your flesh. He really has been doing that. But you're quiet. You're not saying nothing. You're keeping it to yourself. But God has just told me. The enemy has wanted to frustrate you and hurt you in your heart, in your feelings, in the deepest emotions that you experience. Created all sorts of disappointments on top of that. It affected you physically. Know what I'm talking about. Am I talking the truth? Raise your hand if I'm talking the truth. Right. Now the situation's about to change. The Goliaths will be taken out. And you become bold like a lion. I see figures around you, numbers and figures, finances of sorts. Hey?
I'm an accountant.
Oh, you're an accountant. In an accountant profession, Mohammed. So you see, the Lord's talking to you. But now, reckon yourself dead to the world and prepare. The figures that you've dealt with will be replaced with the figure of Christ prevailing over everything. And you will be healed and restored mentally. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's the power of God's on them now. Raise your hands. There it is. Power of God's on you. Now, in Jesus' name, give the Lord a praise offering, everybody, right now. You know, time always chases me, but I got 10 minutes. I got 10 minutes. So, Lord, what do you want me to pray for? Okay. You know, the one thing I want to pray about is material prosperity, that is finances, your personal possessions, the making of money to sustain you, your jobs, all of that stuff literally boils down to what's in your purse and what's not in your purse. I want to break that curse. Now, one thing, two men really influenced me in the early years because they were giants in Christianity. Dr. Lester Sumrall, short little man. Saw him once. I looked at him and I thought, he's that small, but he's that powerful. He didn't mess around. That man didn't mess around. And he was absolutely an apostle. Did mighty works for God. But he was the world-renowned specialist on demonology, calling them alien entities. He wrote the books on alien entities, Dr. Lester Sumrall. The other one is Dr. Derek Prince. man with immense spiritual authority. And what he wrote about the bloodline curses. But there's also financial curses, the material curses. And Dr. Les Sumrall was asked this question, can a Christian have a demon? Now, of course, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and God is with you, he sealed you, Ephesians chapter number 1. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That means sealed, you're God's property. So how would the devil then attack you? What would he do? If your spirit is sealed, what we do find, and that's what he said. He said, I've cast more demons away from Christians than what I've done from unbelievers, because it is normally Christians that arrive in mass at these meetings. He says, I've broken the power of more demons in my life, in the lives of Christians, not in their spirit, because God dwells inside, but the devil attacks their flesh, or he attacks their material possessions, or he attacks their family, or he attacks their minds and brings things upon their minds. Even as people in the night, they would lie awake, or when they sleep, they would dream dreams and they would build up like nightmares. Well, we're pretty safe in South Africa, because if you have a nightmare, it'll be stolen before the morning. My wife says, stop it. Now, why did I say that? Tatu? Laughter is medicine to the bones. You need a little bit of medicine. Give the Lord a good praise offering. Amen. When people are plagued in the night, they're plagued in their dreams, they lie awake. What you call demonic activity is the lowest level. Dr. Les Sumrall has some 5 levels. I can get into that. Don't want to get in there. But 5 levels of demonic activity in people's lives, up to the point of possession, demonic possession, like the demoniac of Gadara, Mark chapter number 5. There are different levels. And the first level is just activity and nocturnal disturbance. And a lot of people have that kind of thing. I can pray about that if you want me to. Just break that curse if you have sleepless nights and nightmare-plagued nights. But I want to talk about and pray about your finances, your material possessions. No, in this respect, the devil's like a crow. He's always out there looking for something that he can pick up illegally. Like a vulture that circles in, wants to steal, to kill, to destroy. So if he can't get you, try to get your family, your marriage, your children, your possessions. And I'm speaking specifically now in the material dimension. Try to steal things from you. Kill, steal, steal, steal. And that's what I want to pray for right now. So I need you, don't do it now, I'll tell you when, in the presence of God, to simply identify yourself here. If you are needing some financial breakthrough, you remain seated. When I say yes, then you do it, and then I start praying. If you need God to help you to get that breakthrough of finances, financial breakthrough, then raise your hands right now. Everybody, right. Now, don't drop your hand. Keep it up. In fact, you can now raise both hands as I pray this prayer. Father, the people have identified themselves that want a financial material breakthrough. It's either favor or a new job or elevation of salary or it means a shortage, or it could be difficulties or stumbling blocks. The devil comes in every possible way to present himself. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break every financial curse in this place. Upon every house, household, every Christian raising their hands to say, Lord God Almighty, here I am. You're the God of breakthroughs. I thank you, Lord. You are changing circumstances. The things seen are temporal. You are in the process of changing it. And now we pray for wisdom for these people as they lift up their hands. What to do, how to deal with financial circumstances, situations. In Jesus Christ's name, I thank you, Lord God Almighty, that right now they have the wisdom, the mind of Christ, and you will navigate them through difficult times. You will be the one behind the steering wheel of their lives, in control of their souls, with the mind of Christ, and tell them what to do and what not to do. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak to the devil. Take your hands off these people right now, devil. In the name of Jesus, I command you. And Father, I thank you. You may give.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.